Chapter 2. Training. Someone has truthfully said that ballplayers, like poets and cooks, are born, not made. Though once born, their development, like that of their fellow artists, may be greatly aided by judicious coaching. Of what this training shall consist becomes then a question of much importance. The only way to learn baseball is to play it. And it is a trite saying that the best practice for a ballplayer is baseball itself. Still, there are points outside of the game, such as the preliminary training, diet, and exercise, an observance of which will be of great advantage when the regular work is begun. The method and style of play and the points of each position are given in the subsequent chapters, so that I shall here speak only of those points which come up off the field and are not included in the game proper. But first of all, let me say that no one will ever become an expert ball player who is not passionately fond of the sport. Baseball cannot be learned as a trade. It begins with the sport of the schoolboy, and though it may end in the professional, I am sure there is not a single one of these who learned the game with the expectation of making it a business. There have been years in the life of each during which he must have ate and drank and dreamed baseball. It is not a calculation, but an inspiration. There are many excellent books devoted exclusively to the general subject of training, and a careful reading of one such may be of much service in teaching the beginner the ordinary principles of self-care. It will show him how to keep the system in good working order, what are proper articles of diet, how to reduce weight, or what exercises are best calculated to develop certain muscles. But for the specific purposes of a ball player, such a book is entirely wanting, for the reason that the condition in which he should keep himself, and therefore the training needful, differ from those for any other athlete. To perform some particular feat, which is to occupy but a comparatively brief space of time, as to run, row, wrestle, or the like, a man will do better to be thoroughly fit. But if the period of exertion is to extend over some length of time, as is the case with the ball player, working for 6 months at a stretch, his system will not stand the strain of too much training. Working solely on bone and muscle day after day, his nervous system will give way. He will grow weak, or, as it is technically known, go stale. This overtraining is a mistake oftenest made by the young and highly ambitious player, though doubtless many of the instances of loss of speed by pitchers and off streaks by older players are really attributable to this cause. The condition in which a ball player should keep himself is such that his stomach and liver are in good order, his daily habits regular, his muscles free and firm, and his wind strong enough to allow him to run the circuit of the bases without inconvenience. He must not attempt to keep in what is known as fine condition. He should observe good hours and take at least 8 hours sleep nightly. And he may eat generously of wholesome food except at noon, when he should take only a light lunch. There are many players who eat so heartily just before the game that they are sleepy and dull the entire afternoon. The traveling professional player needs to pay particular attention to the kind and quality of his food. The sudden changes of climate, water, and cooking are very trying, and unless he takes great care, he will not get through a season without some trouble. Especially should he avoid under or overripe fruit, for it is likely that many of the prevalent cases of cholera morbus are due to indiscretions in this particular. If he finds it necessary to take some light stimulant, let it be done with the evening meal. Never take liquor at any other time. I do not favor the indiscriminate use of any drink, but, on the contrary, oppose it as a most harmful practice. I do believe, however, that a glass of ale, beer, or claret with one's meal is in some cases beneficial. A thin, nervous person, worn out with the excitement and fatigue of the day, will find it a genuine tonic. It will soothe and quiet his nerves and send him earlier to bed and asleep. The beefy individual, with plenty of reserve force, needs no stimulant and should never touch liquor at any time. If taken at all, it should be solely as a tonic and never as a social beverage. The force of the above applies with special emphasis to the young professional player. Knowing so well the numberless temptations by which he is surrounded, I caution him particularly against indiscriminate drinking. In no profession in life are good habits more essential to success than in baseball. It is the first thing concerning which the wise manager inquires, and if the player's record in this respect is found good, it is the most hopeful indication of his future success. Keep away from saloons. The amount of work necessary to keep a player in the proper form must be determined in each particular case by the individual himself. If he is inclined to be thin, a very little will be enough, and he should not begin too early in the spring, while if prone to stoutness, he may require a great deal and should begin earlier. It is scarcely necessary to say that all exercise should be begun by easy stages, commencing with walks in the open air and the use of light pulley weights or clubs or bells. The quantity of exercise may be gradually increased. Never, however, indulge in heavy work or feats of strength. Such exercise is not good for anyone, but especially is it dangerous for ballplayers. They do not want strength, but agility and suppleness. Besides, the straining of some small muscle or tendon may incapacitate one for the entire season, or even permanently. Right here is the objection to turning loose a party of ballplayers in a gymnasium for spring practice. The temptation to try feats of strength is always present, and more than likely, someone will be injured. The best preliminary practice for a ballplayer, outside of actual practice at the game, is to be had in a handball court. The game itself is interesting, and one will work up a perspiration without noticing the exertion. It loosens the muscles, quickens the eye, hardens the hands, and teaches the body to act quickly with the mind. It affords every movement of the ball field except batting. There is little danger from accident, and the amount of exercise can be easily regulated. 2 weeks in a handball court will put a team in better condition to begin a season than any southern trip, and in the end, be less expensive to the club. But whatever preliminary work is found advisable or necessary to adopt, the player should be particular in the following. Having determined the amount of exercise best suited to his temperament, he should observe regular habits, keep the stomach, liver, and skin healthy, attend carefully to the quality of food taken, and if he takes any stimulant at all, let it be with the evening meal.